Bruce Nolan is standing by.
Hey, wacky Bruce!
Coming to you from an undisclosed location, this is the Bruce Exclusive. And here's your host, Bruce Nolan.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to another edition of the Bruce Exclusive, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Nolan. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Bruce Exclusive. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome to the final edition of the Bruce Exclusive Live on the Spotify Green Room platform. I will kind of keep you guys up to breast of what is going on in the Bruce Exclusive Live realm moving forward. And we will see whether or not Bruce decides to do anything in the live show. But this is the last show on this particular platform. And I thought we would finish with a bang. And what we're going to do is we're essentially going to do the same exercise that we did multiple times leading up to the 2021 NFL Draft. And what we did there was we brought on listeners live to make mock draft picks based on who was still on the board. We're going to do the same thing, but we're going to do it with a 53-man roster projection. So here's the way this exercise is going to work. For those of you who are listening live on Spotify Green Room at the time of this recording, it's about 7:02 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday evening, the 15th. What I'm going to do is I'm going to bring you on. I am going to give you the position group that you are going to be outlining, and I am going to give you the number of players you get to keep. I am going to tell you right up front, hey, you only get to keep X amount of this player. Now you have to tell me. So that means you can't cheat. You can't say, well, I got wide receiver. I'm going to keep eight, so I don't have to make any tough decisions. I am going to make you make tough decisions by telling you you only get this amount. And then when you're done, I'm going to ask you, why'd you do that? Why this guy over this? It's going to be fun. We're going to have a great conversation, and I'm excited about it. So at the very end of this conversation, I am going to let you in on a little surprise as to what it is that I've got going for you a week from Friday. So on Friday the 23rd, there's going to be a surprise in your podcast feed. And I'm going to tell you what that's going to be at the end of this episode. That's right. You have to stick around. If you're live, you have to stick around. If you're listening to a podcast, I guess technically you could just jump all the way to the end if that's all you cared about. But you wouldn't do that to me. You would listen to the whole thing because you love me. So without further ado, let's dive in to the 53-man 2021 Buffalo Bills roster projection. Let's start off right off the bat with EB. EB, my good man, you are on with Bruce. How are you doing, dude?
Good evening, Bruce. I'm well. How are you?
I am fantastic. Are you ready to pick quarterbacks, EB?
You're picking me for quarterbacks.
I'm picking you for quarterbacks. All right. We're doing it. Okay.
Well, let's start out with the number one most shocking would be Mr. Allen.
Mr. Allen.
Trubisky just makes sense.
Okay. Who's your third?
And then I think given everything with COVID and possible, maybe they just do the same thing with Fromm again and put him off site. And there's your three.
Okay. Allen, Trubisky, Fromm. Now tell me, why Fromm over Webb? Is it just the draft pick investment? Is it just because that what they did last year? Why Fromm over Webb?
Yeah, maybe just for similarity purposes last year. I've always thought Webb could just kind of be a cut / bring him onto the coaching staff, you know?
Absolutely. I know that, you know, Davis Webb has been someone who the coaching staff has lauded for his leadership abilities, his ability to organize workouts. All that stuff's valuable as a third quarterback, but quite frankly, it's valuable as a practice squad guy too. And it's not like they haven't exposed him to waivers before and had somebody even sniff interest. So if nobody's really even sniffed interest, then I'm not going to worry about it. All right, EB. Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it. All right, moving along. We are going to do running backs. And the number for running backs is going to be four. The number for running backs is four. And to do that, we are going to bring on my man Sterling. Sterling Furrow, co-host of the Cover One Podcast Network's Hoof Podcast. It's going to be great. Sterling, are you ready for four running backs?
You know, I'm ready, Bruce. Let's do this, man.
All right, man. Who are your four? Hit me.
All right, so we're going to go Zach Moss, one, Devin Singletary, two, Matt Breida, three, and Tywan Jones, four.
Okay, so let me ask you. You decided to go Tywan Jones. Obviously, it's a special teams move. Moss, Singletary, Breida. Is there something to you saying Moss number one and Singletary number two? Is there anything there? Or was it just it's alphabetical order between Moss and Singletary? Do you think Moss is going to be the lead guy, or is it just the guy you came to first?
No, I think Moss is going to be the lead guy. I just think if you look at last season, how Moss was coming on and how much, you know, the snap counts that he were getting, and plus in the playoffs, you know, they were kind of relying on him a little more than Devin Singletary. And I don't think it was injury related either. I just think they feel like maybe Moss gives them a little bit more at the position. So, you know, I'm a big Devin Singletary fan, but I think they're going to give it to Zach Moss. So that's why I specifically said Moss won, Singletary two.
Antonio Williams, a practice squad candidate for you. Did you give him any consideration in the number four spot?
No. Mm-mm.
Oh man, that's interesting. You know, he's been kind of a buzzy name. And so to hear you dismiss it a little bit when it comes to it, is it just that you just think that Tywan Jones is one of the best gunners in the league and he deserves a spot? Because Antonio Williams, obviously he could make his claim for the roster on special teams. Is it just that you think Tywan Jones is that good as a gunner? Because I'll level with you, that's where I'm at. Where I'm at is Tywan Jones is one of the best gunners in the league and we should keep him for that spot.
Absolutely, and we know the emphasis McDermott places on special teams. So, I mean, they brought him back for a reason a couple of years ago. So, I think he's definitely in play.
All right, man. Hey, I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, bro.
Moving along, we found a gentleman who is here with me, Mr. Joe Marino from the Locked On Bills podcast and the Draft Network, has decided to jump on and spend this time with me. Joe, how you doing, dude?
Bruce, what's going on, dude? Man, I normally have a 7 o'clock appointment every single Thursday, but today it was canceled, so I had to hop in here for your final live recording.
Thanks so much, man. The stars lined up. The fates have aligned, and you're in time just to be able to make difficult decisions on the wide receiver room because you only have 6 spots. I know you want 7. I want 7. But part of the exercise is to force the people who are doing it to make tough decisions. So you can only pick 6 for the wide receiver room. What you doing?
Well, I think you got to start with Lance Lenoir and Tanner Gentry as roster clearly locks. But Brandon Powell, Jake Kumerow. There's value in cutting Diggs, right? They could save some cash. No, dude, absolutely. So, all right, I'll be serious. Stephon Diggs is 1. Cole Beasley is 2. Gabriel Davis is 3. Emmanuel Sanders is 4. Isaiah McKenzie is 5. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of think that's like sort of set in stone. Unless there's an injury, I think those 5 players are definitely in. And I was hopeful that you would allow me to go 7 here, but you did the 3 quarterback thing, and I think that probably was prohibitive to getting that 7th receiver on the roster. So now I have a tough decision to make. We have Marquez Stevenson, the draft pick out of Houston, that gives you some return ability, at least in the kick return asset. You have Isaiah Hodgins, who's been a darling, it seems like, every chance he gets to put on a helmet. And Kumerow, who gives you a veteran special teams ability. Oh, boy. I'll tell you what. I'll get it down to Hodgins and Stevenson. And I'm going to go with Hodgins as wide receiver 6, because in this scenario, it's my belief that Isaiah McKenzie handles your punt return duties, and Stevenson's more of a practice squad candidate that hopefully can clear waivers and they can groom and develop maybe as a Isaiah McKenzie replacement in time.
So the reason why I went with 6 receivers here is not because I want them to do that, and not even necessarily because I think they're going to. I'm trying to create the numbers that create the interesting discussions. So I went with 3 quarterbacks specifically because I wanted there to be a Fromm or Webb. I went with 6 receivers because I wanted people to have to go, okay, I know it's easy to do 7. And we're going to do that throughout this discussion. We're, spoiler alert, we're not going to keep 10 defensive linemen, which is another thing that we talked about. So we're going to do this specifically because we want there to be interesting conversation around the defensive line, offensive line, wide receiver, quarterback. I picked the numbers specifically so that there will be an interesting decision that needs to be made at the bottom of this roster. So let me ask you, Joe. You said that Diggs, Beasley, Davis, Sanders, McKenzie. You think it's pretty much set. What is it that makes you think that McKenzie is essentially a roster lock when there's other people around there who just don't think he is? What is it that makes you think that he's a lock? Is it just because he's the only person on our team who's ever returned punts in a Buffalo Bills uniform before? Is that what it is? What is it that makes you think, yes, he's in? Is it the integral part to the gadget game on offense? What is it that makes you think, yes, absolutely, this guy who we re-signed later in the offseason ends up being a lock for the roster?
Well, I think him being part of the roster for – this will be going into his third season, and him kind of claiming more and more of a role as his time on the team has went on, and – some of the flashes down the stretch last year, I think, contribute to that. Feels like Josh Allen likes him a lot. Feels like Brian Daboll likes him a lot. He brings energy to the locker room. He said he would play for candy as payment. You know, he buys in. And so I think that combined with all of the messaging to this point indicating that they like Isaiah McKenzie and they continue to bring him back, and he's won every challenge that he's been faced. I mean, feels like he's been in this situation year after year, and he continues to be the favored selection of the coaching staff. And so I just don't know that there is a player that tells me something about them that would lead me to believe that they would make the team over McKenzie, especially when you add in the fact that he does those gadgety type things for this offense.
We should start calling Isaiah McKenzie Destiny's Child because he's a survivor, and they'd be very proud of it. Yes.
Well done.
I am full of the puns. Joe, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, sir.
We are going to move along. Henry, you are here with Bruce Nolan. You're going to do tight ends, man. And we have four of them to select. I would prefer not to keep four. I'd prefer to keep three. But again, the entire purpose of this is to have interesting discussions for the bottom of the roster decisions. So you've got to pick four tight ends for me, my man. What's it going to be, Henry?
All right, so I think first off, Dawson Knox and Jacob Hollister, I think, will make this team. I mean, I just think Dawson Knox, I think he'll have a good year this year. I don't know why. I just think he'll have a really good year because I feel like if we can utilize his athleticism, he could be really, really good with us. And especially if he starts catching the ball better, that he's a good, good player. I think also Tommy Sweeney might make it because I think he's definitely a good blocker. And I did mention Hollister, correct?
You did. You have Knox, Hollister, Sweeney, which means you've got to pick one from Gilliam, Becker, and Morris.
Right now I'm kind of thinking Gilliam because, I mean, I haven't heard a lot about Morris. And Nate Becker haven't heard a lot about. And I know that Gilliam, he was our fullback last year, and he could also be used as kind of that H-back a little bit. So maybe you could use him as your fourth tight end and just let him be sort of your blocker. And also he provides that special teams ability as well.
Okay, so this is the interesting bottom of the roster question for this. If Zach Ertz ends up becoming a Buffalo Bill, as has been speculated about widely for what seems like forever, which one of these tight ends doesn't make it? Sweeney or Gilliam?
Personally, I would say Gilliam because I've seen Sweeney and I think he has a little more upside. I love Gilliam, don't get me wrong, but I think Sweeney is as good of a blocker. Plus, also, he's been, like, coming out of college, I remember he was known for being, like, great with his hands and being, like, a pretty solid, like, catcher as well. So I mean, it's like if you can utilize that on just like some short yardage situations, so then it would just be Knox, Hollister, Sweeney, and Ertz. I mean, that would be a pretty solid tight end room right there.
All right, Henry, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining me.
Sir, thank you for having me.
We are zipping right along, ladies and gentlemen. We are zipping right along, and we're gonna be up on the offensive line. In fact, you know what? folks, we've got enough that if you want to hop back in line again, I might be able to have you do a separate group. So go ahead and hop back in line because we've got a couple people in the queue, but I don't think we've got enough people in the queue to fill up all of them. So go ahead and hop back in line too. Jack, my man, you are on with Bruce and you're going to do offensive line. How you doing, dude?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. How are you doing, Bruce?
It's a party all the time. Disco balls, dancers, the whole thing, man. If I was doing better, they would lock me away, think I was crazy. They'd be like, Bruce is having too much fun, man. We can't handle this. So you've got 9 offensive linemen.
All right.
You can pick 9. Hit me with it. 9. Let's go.
All right. Well, I mean, you got the top 5 pretty obvious. We got, Dawkins, Feliciano, Morse, Ford, and Williams. So there you got your starting 5. So I think they'll keep definitely keep Brown as their swing slash backup or tackle. And I'm going to say Butker. Who is that last one?
So here are your options at this point. You've already said Morse, Dawkins, Williams, Feliciano, Ford. You have Bates, Jordan Devey, Bobby Hart, Jamil Douglas, Forrest Lamp, Tommy Doyle, draft pick, Jack Anderson, draft pick, Cyrus Tutele, and Steven Gonzalez.
The way I have this laid out right now, if I'm kind of thinking you need an interior guy, and I'm almost leaning towards Lamp. However, I do like the fact that Bates can play anywhere on that line, so I think I would go with Bates.
Okay. You've got 8 that you've picked. You've got Dawkins, Feliciano, Morse, Ford, Williams, Brown, Becker, and Bass. You've got 1 more, and you've got Bobby Hart, Jamil Douglas, Lamp, Tommy Doyle, Jack Anderson, Tutele, and Steven Gonzalez to pick one.
Okay. I think I'm going to go with – the other draft pick, Doyle.
Okay, Doyle. So 7th round draft pick, Jack Anderson ends up getting cut.
Yes.
Forrest Lamp, who has been getting a little bit of buzzy because of his high draft pedigree, he gets cut.
Yep. That's the one I was stuck on.
And you know what? That's the one that I want people to get stuck on with this exercise, because they have to start to balance the fact that this team is no longer required to keep all their draft picks. They can, but they don't have to. So Tommy Doyle, I do agree with you. I do think Tommy Doyle is going to make this team. But Jack Anderson, there's nothing saying Jack Anderson has to make this team. He was a 7th round pick. He doesn't have to make this team. It's the same thing with Marquez Stevenson that Joe Marino just talked about when we were having discussion about the wide receivers. We're no longer at the spot where draft picks have to make the team. One of the things I think is interesting is that certain franchises hold up their record of draft picks making the team like it's a badge of honor. Wow, we drafted 7 people. 5 of them ended up having significant playing time. As rookies, that's an amazing draft class. Is it? Is it an amazing draft class? Or did you just not have a very talented roster? Which one is those things? We used to hold that up, sometimes even as Bills fans, as if that was some sort of badge of honor. We would say things like, gosh, we drafted 7 players. We drafted 3 starters. Look at us go. Yeah, but were they good starters? Were they starters because they were good players? Or are they starters because your team sucked? Which one of those things was it? Yes, Coe Simpson. I mean, he's famous after all. Don't you know who he is? He's Coe Simpson. So, Jack, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for doing offensive line with me. Catch you later, dude. All right, we're moving around. Matt, you are on. With Bruce, you're going to do defensive line, man. How you doing?
Oh, can't complain? Or if I could, I shouldn't.
Well, I mean, who would listen if you didn't, right? I mean, let's be honest. You'd just be yelling into the ether. We got some Bills content creation with a dab of nihilism right here in the Bruce exclusive. So you also have 9 to choose from. 9 defensive linemen. Matt, the floor is yours.
Okay. So we're definitely keeping Jerry Hughes, Mario Addison, AJ Epenesa. I think Boogie Basham and Greg Rousseau are both going to end up making the 53. So I'm at 5 now.
You're at 5 now.
three to go. Vernon Butler, we restructured his contract, and I don't think they would have done that if they planned on cutting him. So with that restructure, I think he's pretty set to make the roster this year. Star Latulele and Ed Oliver are going to be my last two for the D-line.
All right, now you have eight. You get one more. You have Hughes, Addison, oh. Epinesa, Basham, Rousseau, Butler, Lotulele, and Oliver, which means you got one more to go.
Then last, I think I'm going to take Harrison Phillips.
Okay. So you were forced to take nine, which forced you to make some difficult decisions. Here are three players that didn't make your team that we've seen on 53-man roster projections in the past. Daryl Johnson, Efe Obada, and Justin Zimmer. Tell me why Daryl Johnson, Efe Obada, and Justin Zimmer didn't make it for your cut.
Justin Zimmer, I think he definitely showed a lot. I just think we have other guys that show more. Specifically for tackle, I think Harrison Phillips is kind of the main other young guy we had playing one tech. So I think we keep him just to see if there's anything he can show to hopefully take up after Star. So that's why I kept him over Justin Zimmer. F.A. Obada, I think he was big and had a lot of the size and length that we were looking for. But I think Greg Rousseau and Boogie Basham both also have those qualities. And I know you just got through saying that you don't want to just add someone, or we don't have to add someone just because they were in the draft, but they were picked one and two. And I think that's why they took them, was for the size and the length. So I think they'll make the roster over F.A. Obada. And who was the last one? You asked?
F.A. Obada, Justin Zimmer, and Daryl Johnson.
Daryl Johnson, I honestly just don't know as much about as a player, so he kind of just wasn't in my head personally.
All right. Matt, I appreciate it, man.
Thanks.
Moving right along. Mr. Inevitable himself, Randy, is here with me. Randy, you're going to do linebackers, man. So you're muted right now, so make sure you take off your mute. But you are going to do linebackers, and you specifically got six of them. You've got to pick six linebackers. I'm going to make it, you know, make it a little tough for you. You got to keep six. We've got some linebacker depth this year that we didn't historically have. What are you going to go with, Randy?
Well, the obvious, you have Milano Edmonds, and I think A.J. Klein still has a place in the team for this year. After that, I think Matakevich for special teams. I think Dodson actually has a pretty good lock on having a spot. And what are the other options that are left? I got one left, right?
So you've got one spot left, and you've got Andre Smith, Tyrell Adams, Markell Lee, Mike Bell, and Joe Giles-Harris.
I'm taking Adams.
You're taking Adams. Now, talk to me. I think a lot of people think Milano, Edmonds, Climbs, Matakevich. A lot of people think those are the four, which means essentially you've got Dodson, Smith, Tyrell Adams, Markell Lee, Mike Bell, Joe Giles-Harris. Why Dodson and Adams versus Andre Smith, Markell Lee, Mike Bell, specifically Andre Smith, who was a former Panther, who came aboard, who got re-signed to a two-year deal? Why do you think he doesn't make it? Is it just because you've already got another special teamer in Tyler Matakevich? Because we also lost a four-phase special teams player last phase in the defensive line room when Daryl Johnson got cut by Mike. So Correct. Tell me why Dodson and Adams, why those two behind the four that a lot of people think are going to make it with Milano, Edmonds, Klein, and Matakevich?
Well, I think Dodson makes it because he can play all three positions. He's got versatility to play, you know, both outsides, Sam and Will. Plus, he played a little bit of Mike, too. So if Milano goes down, if Edmonds happens to go down for a little bit, he can fill into any of those spaces. Adams also, even though I know the tackles in Houston don't mean anything, you know, as much as some people might think. But he also has the ability to play a couple of different positions, and there's nothing saying that either one of those two can't play special teams. So, and I believe Dotson does play special teams anyway, or at least he did, if I recall.
Now, let me ask you something. I want to see if you're on board with me on this. So, okay. I like Tyrell Adams as a backup linebacker. I like him as a third linebacker. There's certain moments of my life where I prefer Tyrell Adams as a third linebacker on the field to AJ Klein. Am I just way overhyped on Tyrell Adams, where I think he could be a third or fourth linebacker and not the sixth linebacker on the roster?
No, I don't think so at all. I mean, I think getting meaningful snaps, you know, as a starter in the NFL, it does have value. And he did that in Houston. I mean, it's a bad team, yeah, but he still played, and he played at a decent level. So I don't think that can be overstated. And if, you know, like I said, if somebody were to go down, or he might just outplay an A.J. Klein. You know, there's nothing saying that A.J. Klein is definitely going to be a top three. It's more than likely, as you like to say. It's more probable, but it's not definitive. So anything's possible.
That's what I love. Anything's possible. Randy, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining me for Linebackers.
No problem.
We are chugging right along. This is going smoothly, ladies and gentlemen. This is smooth like butter. Andy, you are on with me. Andy, my good man, you are going to do something that is very near and dear to my heart. Ladies and gentlemen, the cornerbacks, the best position on the field. Clearly, we all know that. And Andy is going to help me pick five cornerbacks to make this roster. Andy, five cornerbacks. What you doing?
Well, first of all, Bruce, for the last time, my man, the man, Bruce Nolan, K-Pasa, what's going down, what it is.
Andy, I'm going to miss that, my man.
I hope you get that reference. Anyway, I have five here. So we're going to go Trey White. We're going to go Ciaran Neal. We're going to go Dane Jackson. Levi Wallace and Rashad Wild Goose.
Oh, my goodness gracious. You cut Taron Johnson.
So I'm going to go with something that you've said before, particularly with regard to turnovers, is that they're not necessarily predictive and they're kind of random. So, yes, Taron Johnson has had a lot of big plays. Well, not maybe a lot, but there are two that we remember, right? But outside of that, I think he's been pretty mediocre, and I think that the purpose of drafting Wild Goose was because maybe the Bills are on the fence about re-signing Taron Johnson after, what is it, his contract expires after this year or next year, I forget.
After this year, yeah.
So, there you go.
So the reason I picked five corners as the number is because I wanted people to have to make a call between Ciaran Neal and some of the other special teamers up there. Right, Ciaran Neal versus Elijah Griffin, Ciaran Neal, Nick McLeod, Ciaran Neal, you know, Rashad Wild Goose, Ciaran Neal, Cam Lewis, things like that. Turns out I got the completely opposite response, and Andy went and cut himself some Taron Johnson. That is hands down the biggest bombshell of this exercise thus far. So you know what? It's not my thing. It's your guys' thing. So Andy, I appreciate it, dude. We are going to move on. Two safeties, and we've got Henry back with me for safeties. Henry, my good man, are you ready for safeties?
I mean, yeah, might as well.
Okay. We have four safeties you get to pick. What's it going to be?
So I think it's pretty obvious we're keeping Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. I mean, they're probably a top three, if not like the best safety duo in the league. And I think they complement each other perfectly. Cannot cut them. And so how many do I have left? Let's see. So I got the first two. How many
do
I
have left? Two more.
I think we keep Damar Hamlin. I think he has a pretty good shot at making it. And then I think we also keep Jaquan Johnson.
Okay. I think that a lot of people are kind of locked into these four as being the four safeties. I think when you look at – you know, Tariq Thompson, you think, okay, maybe that's a player who makes previous Bills rosters. But Jaquan Johnson being in the system, being someone they trust on special teams, I think matters, especially when you look at some of the other things that were done on this 53-man roster projection. When you look at the fact that you got rid of Darryl Johnson, the fact that you don't really have the same corners that you thought you were going to have. I think Jaquan Johnson becomes more important because those two things are true. You lost a veteran when Andy decided to cut Taron Johnson. You probably don't want to go with two rookies behind Hyde and Poyer. So having Jaquan Johnson, who's been in this system, I think is really valuable. So, Henry, you did it. You did safeties. Thanks for jumping back on, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for letting me speak again.
All right. Last one, Mr. Mike. Mr. Mike, your mic is muted. And you are going to be here for what I think is clearly the most difficult set of position groups to pull off, which is specialists, because nobody has any idea what the Bills are going to do with specialists. That's for sure. But Mike, who are you keeping, man?
I am honored, absolutely honored to pick the specials players. I'm going to go out on an absolute limb here and go with Tyler Bass. I think maybe a punter named Matt Hack and a really good long snapper named Reed Ferguson.
Personally, I'm shocked. I'm absolutely floored. I said previously cutting Taron Johnson was the bombshell. I take it all back. This was the bombshell. The highest paid long snapper in the NFL is going to make it. The punter contract that they really, you know, kind of committed to for at least a little bit, and the rookie kicker who set a Bills points record last year. So I think this is pretty obvious. Now let me ask you something, because I want to have something to dialogue with you about, Mike.
Sure.
How did you feel about Corey Bohorquez leaving and Matt Hawk coming in? Were you like, eh, whatever? Were you a little perturbed after Bohorquez had a pretty good year last year? Do you think, hey, you know what? Brandon Bean said they wanted somebody who was going to commit here long term, which is kind of weird for a GM to say, which implies that Bohorquez didn't want to do a long term deal. And because of that, you're like, okay, well, if he doesn't want to be here, he doesn't want to be here. Like, how did you interpret that?
Yeah, you know, the way I kind of thought about it was, you know, here's a guy, he really had one good season, right? I don't think any of us going into last year were really pounding the table for Corey Bohorquez. So, you know, I do recognize that. I'm wondering if he just overplayed his hand a little bit. You know, he's going into a situation now where he's going to be in a competition. Which is pretty shocking for somebody with his numbers last year. So maybe there's something underlying going on there. Like, not sure why someone with those types of kind of accolades coming off, you know, a career year wouldn't get more interest than that. So I found that interesting. I mean, when I first heard about it, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, you know, that punt against the Bills gets returned for you know, we all saw that. We've all heard from Dolphins fans their kind of opinions on him. What I'm really hoping is he can be a little bit more consistent, in terms of, you know, not, putting it in the end zone. So, you know, if we can get that out of him, I'll be really happy.
Okay. Mike, thanks so much, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we did it. 53-man roster projection done entirely by you. To recap, quarterbacks, we kept 3. Alan Trubisky, Fromm. Running backs, we kept 4. Moss, Singletary, Breida, Tywan Jones. Wide receiver, we kept 6. Diggs, Beasley, Davis, Sanders, McKenzie, Hodgins. Tight end, we kept 4. Knox, Hollister, Sweeney, Gillum. And they flat out said if we get Ertz, it goes Knox, Hollister, Sweeney, Ertz. Offensive lineman, we kept 9. Dawkins, Feliciano, Morse, Ford, Williams, Brown, Butker, Bates, Doyle. Defensive line, we also kept 9. Hughes, Addison, Epinesa, Basham, Rousseau, Butler, Lotulele, Oliver, Phillips. Linebacker, we kept 6. Milano, Edmonds, Klein, Matakevich, Dodson, Adams. Cornerback, we kept 5. White, Neal, Jackson, Wallace, Wild Goose. Safety, we kept 4. Hyde, Poyer, Hamlin, Johnson. Specialists, we kept 3. Bass, Hawk, Ferguson. We did it. We absolutely did it. For those of you who have hopped on after 7 o'clock, I'm going to make y'all a deal. I am going to let you in on a little secret here live that the people who are listening to this podcast on Friday morning will not learn until Friday morning when they boot up their podcast feeds. But I will only let you know if you go into the comments and tell me right now that you're going to keep this a secret. You cannot let anybody know on social media tonight. You got to let it sit until it pops up tomorrow morning. So if I have a deal between my listeners and you guys, I'm going to let you know a little secret. We're going to do it. Here's the secret. Now, next Friday, which is the 23rd, Friday the 23rd of July, I'm going to be dropping a surprise podcast. Now, it's not a surprise because Bruce doesn't typically drop podcasts on Friday. He does typically drop podcasts on Friday. It is a surprise because it's something that I've been working on for a very long time. I really wanted to make sure I got it done before training camp started. That was important to me because when training camp started, you know, it's all about training camp stories. It's about things you hear. It's about observations. You can do a little bit of the summer lull sort of content, but you can't do this. And here's what I'm going to do. Some of my favorite television shows of all time are shows that include the likes of USA's Psych and Scrubs. Big fan of those shows. One of the things that some of my favorite shows of all time have in common is that occasionally, usually once in their entire run, but occasionally more than once, they will do an episode of their show that is entirely musical. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. I have been joking about this for a long time, but I am actually going to do, I have recorded a fully musical version of the Bruce Exclusive. I did it with my wife. We wrote a script. We recorded and wrote songs. We have been working on it for months. It is intended primarily to be comedy. It's intended to be funny. And it's going to be bizarre, and it's going to be wild, and it's going to be riotous, and I hope you get a kick out of it, because that's what this is about. As much as I enjoy deep dives into deep philosophical content, ultimately this is entertainment. And I'm willing to laugh at myself, and I'm willing to have you laugh at me in order to make this happen. John in the comments says, did she do all the singing? Gosh, no, she did not. But she did do some. So there's some Mrs. Nolan singing in there, and there's a lot of Bruce Nolan singing in there. And I wrote all the lyrics to all the songs, which are parodies of popular top 40 songs from across the different charts that you may have heard of. Some of them are musical numbers. Some of them are from Disney movies. Some of them are country. Some of them are other genres. Some of them are pop. Some of them are from different decades. I tried to find a nice little mix, and it's going to be hilarious. And I have worked really, really hard on it, and I want it to be funny, and I want it to be entertaining, and I hope you all enjoy it, because I enjoyed making it. This was something that kind of started as a project for me and my wife, because I wanted to do something else with her. Because if you remember correctly, last year, my wife and I did a food pod together. That's what we did. We did a food pod where we took Q&A from people about food takes. And I really enjoyed it. And people responded wonderfully. They're like, oh my gosh, your wife is so delightful. And I'm like, yes, I know. That's why I married her. I've mentioned before, I married her after 4 months of dating. And I did that because I was very sure that she was out of my league. So that is why I did it. And I wanted to do this, and I wanted her to join me, and I didn't really want to do it alone. So we wrote a script together. We recorded it together. We worked on the songs together. We wrote the lyrics together. We did all this together. So it's a love letter from me and Mrs. Nolan to Bill's Mafia. And we do it through song. It's ridiculous. It's haphazardly awkward. It is funny. And I still laugh when I do it. And I'm okay if people laugh at me about it. That's cool. I don't, like I said at the very beginning of this podcast, one of the things that I think is really important is that we take the content seriously. We just don't take ourselves too seriously, because this is supposed to be fun. We are talking and conversing about men running around on a football field wearing matching uniforms, throwing a ball. Let's not get too serious, ladies and gentlemen. It's supposed to be fun. And so that right there is what's coming for you a week from Friday. It will be in your podcast feeds on Friday, July 23rd. I hope you enjoy it. I hope that you have fun with it. I am excited to share that with you. Thank you so much for joining me for this final edition of the Bruce Exclusive Live on Spotify Green Room. Thank you to every single person who is here in the comments right now and has been with me throughout this time. Justin, Scatty, John, Eby, Sterling, Luke, Corey, Jack, Matt, Randy, Andy, Henry, Mike, Richard, Steve, all of the people who are or have been in these comments who have made this enjoyable for a guy who really doesn't feel comfortable doing live shows. You have made this a blessing for me. You did. Because without you, this would have been miserable. Without you jumping on and being so unbelievably gracious to spend time out of your day to do this with me, this would have been miserable for me. This puts me on the spot. It puts me in an uncomfortable position. I can't have any verbal missteps because I can't fix them in post-production. And I'm a little bit of a perfectionist and that stuff bothers me. And you guys made that okay. You made it okay because you were gracious and you accepted me. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. Thank you for everything you've done for me. I hope I continue to make you proud. And for those of you out there who missed this live experience, that's okay. I love you guys too. Thank you for being a part of this with me. And that's the way the cookie crumbles. I'm Bruce Nolan, Buffalo Rumblings.